And I looked over at Pearl and I said, "What did you just say?" And she said, "Doc, you don't understand. I told you that nurse was sending demons in here. Now they're spirits and you can't see them. But that's what was attacking you and choking you." And she said, "There's only one power that's greater than those demon spirits, and that is Jesus Christ. And you have to use the name of Jesus." Well, you know, Jesus said in the scripture, he said, "These signs shall follow those who believe in me. In my name they shall cast out demons." And that's exactly what I experienced that night, and that was what opened the whole realm of spiritual warfare to me. I learned that night through Pearl and experienced the reality of the invisible.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Today we have with us Dr. Rebecca Brown. She's the author of many books. She's had the most unusual experiences in the spiritual world, something I think we all should learn something about. You don't want to be ignorant. Paul said, "I would not have you," Paul the apostle in the Bible. He wrote much of the New Testament. He said, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant to the wiles of the devil or the things that he can do." It's part of God's plan that we're not ignorant of what the devil is doing and how he can affect our life. And, you know, you can find that in the Bible.
Amen.
Well, today, Dr. Rebecca Brown, that's with me, she's experienced so much in the spiritual kingdom. She's got so much that she's learned, and she's written many books. Dr. Brown, thank you for coming in today. This is the second part of your series. Could you pick up where you left off and get us started again today?
Yes, I will. But first, just let me tell those that are listening, a little over 31 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and asked me to enter into a covenant with him. Now, a covenant is a contract, and what the Lord said was, "I want you to give me permission to use you in any way that I choose as an instrument directly against Satan personally and his kingdom." And then he said, "Count the cost. You will suffer greatly. You will lose everything. You will lose your home. You will lose everyone that you love. You will lose everything that you love. You will lose your career. You will lose your reputation. You will lose your physical health. You will lose it all. But," he said, "I promise that I will never leave you or forsake you. And if you enter into this agreement with me, I will grant you the privilege of coming to know and experience me personally in a way that you never could have otherwise." And then he said, "If you choose not to take this covenant, I will bless you greatly anyway." And he said, "I will bless you in your chosen career of medicine, but," he said, "you will never have the opportunity to come to know me and experience me personally as you would have if you chose the first covenant." Well, I have to tell you, the passion of my life, the ruling passion of my life, is coming to know and experience God personally. And it's still that way today, just as it was back then. And after 2 weeks of struggle and prayer, I came to the decision that I would enter into that covenant with God. And my life has never been the same since. But I'm saying all of this so that people will understand that I have had and still do have experiences that the average person does not have. And the purpose of it is so that I can teach others so that you won't have to go through what I've gone through. But you can go straight to victory through Jesus Christ and not have to go through the trials and tribulations that I did.
I learned so much, though, through those trials and tribulations.
Yes. And I want to make it clear in my first book that I was basically operating from a position of complete ignorance about what we call spiritual warfare. And I'm going to be using that term. And that means battling against our enemy, Satan, and demon spirits. That's what spiritual warfare means. So let me pick up the story. Let me start out when I first went to that hospital. I did not know that the majority of the doctors and nurses and people in that hospital were direct servants of Satan as their god, and that they were members of that community that was not far from me and where I lived and worked. But because I was specializing in critical care as well as internal medicine, I spent a lot of time in the intensive care unit, and it was a large intensive care unit, over 35 beds. You have to understand that in the field of medicine, there was always an orderly, traceable progression of symptoms. And what I mean by that is, let's say that somebody comes in and they're dying because they're bleeding to death through an ulcer that's a hole in their stomach. Well, if you take them to surgery and you repair that and stop the bleeding, then they should be okay and they should recuperate unless they get something else, like an overwhelming infection or some other complication from the surgery. But what was happening in this hospital, and I noticed because I spent so much time in the intensive care unit, is patients would be brought into the intensive care unit. They had been stabilized. The problem that brought them into the hospital had pretty much been taken care of. And all of a sudden, for no reason that I could trace, their blood pressure would stop, go to zero, their heart would stop beating, and they would die. And I couldn't come up with a reason for it. And I would follow these patients through to where they did what we call an autopsy, and that's where they, you know, completely go through the whole physical body and try and figure out what made the people die in the first place. And always they would just say cardiac arrest, which means the heart stops beating. Well, that's obviously the truth, because you don't die unless your heart stops beating. So that wasn't an acceptable reason in my mind. But pretty soon, I was called into the director, the doctor that was the head of the internal medicine program, and he told me to stop investigating and following up on these patients' deaths, that was not my job, and that made me really question things. Well, eventually, after much prayer, there was a nurse in the intensive care unit that I ended up leading to Jesus Christ, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her God. And we became friends. And one night we went out to dinner together, and she began talking to me because she had transferred from the night shift to the day shift. And she told me that the reason why is because the nurse who was in charge of the intensive care unit at night was one of these people who directly worshipped and served Satan, and that this girl had been out to that Satanist community, and that she was being trained by this woman, and we'll just call her Helen. That's not a real name. And she was being trained by Helen to become a spiritualist medium. But when she began to experience some of the things in the spirit realm, it absolutely scared her to death. And that is when she began to look for something else and then eventually accepted Jesus Christ. And she told me that Helen considered it her work to go into the patients in the intensive care unit and to tell them that there was no need for them to struggle to remain alive, that they could so easily be reincarnated into their next beautiful life, and that she would call on her, quote, higher powers to come and escort them into their next beautiful life. And then she would summon demon spirits, and they would come and attack these patients, and they would die. Now, the other thing that perturbed me, that disturbed me about what was going on in the intensive care unit is when people are in the intensive care unit for several days, the lights are on day and night, they're being awakened frequently, they never sleep for much more than an hour at a time, and they become disoriented, and they lose track of time, they don't know what day it is many times, and as a result, they begin to have what we call hallucinations, and they're seeing and hearing things that are not real. But the thing that disturbed me was so many of the patients, the majority of the patients, were experiencing what we called this an ICU psychosis, and they were having these hallucinations, but they were all saying the same thing. Every one of them was saying that they were seeing demon spirits and that the demons were trying to kill them.
Wow.
Well, the breakthrough came when I had a patient of my own, and she was a beautiful older lady. She was from the New Orleans area, so she knew about witchcraft. And she had asthma very severely, and I had to admit her to the intensive care unit. Well, the very next morning when I went in to see her, and she hadn't even been in the unit for 24 hours, now I'll call her Pearl, she was a solid Christian. But when I went in that morning, the nurses told me that Pearl was having an ICU psychosis and that she was hallucinating. Well, first of all, I knew that Pearl was a very strong woman and a very solid Christian, and I didn't think that she would be having an ICU psychosis within just only 12 hours of being admitted to the intensive care unit. So when I went in to see her, she was crying, and she told me, she said, if you don't transfer me out of here today, I will die tonight. And I said, Pearl, what in the world are you talking about? And she said, well, that nurse, and she indicated that it was Helen, came in here last night, and she told me that there was no reason for me to struggle to live, that I could so easily be reincarnated into my next beautiful life, and that she would summons what she called her higher powers to come and escort me. And Pearl said, that woman called demon spirits into this room, and they tried to kill me. She said, and I'm telling you, doctor, I am not strong enough to stand against them tonight. They will kill me if you leave me in here.
Here she was, a Christian woman.
Yes.
And she was having this experience. Now, some people would say, Christians don't have that experience.
Well, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And, well, first of all, you got to understand, I didn't have any understanding of the spirit realm at that point, and I did not realize that demon spirits were alive and well on planet Earth. I didn't know that. I had read about demons in the Bible, but it never occurred to me that they might actually be here on Earth today, I mean in this modern technological age.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, I certainly didn't believe that they'd be here in modern scientific America. And, oh, maybe over in Africa or some third world country, maybe, but not here in America. So I didn't know whether to believe Pearl or not. And I couldn't transfer her out of the unit because I knew physically that she was too ill to do that. And so I spent that day in prayer every chance that I got. And I felt that God was telling me that I was to go and sit by her bedside that night, all night.
Mm.
And so I did. Now, I was not on call that night. And trust me, this is something that doctors don't do. They do not go and sit at their patient's bedside all night, particularly one that's saying that they're seeing demon spirits. And so the nurses were really making fun of me and telling me I was crazy and all this kind of stuff. Well, I went and sat by Pearl's bedside, and Helen never came into the room that night. And I was reading a medical textbook as I was sitting there, and I got so tired around about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was getting sleepy. And all of a sudden, I found myself on the floor out of my chair.
Oh, my.
And I got up and I thought,
how'd that happen?
Did I fall asleep and fall out of my chair, you know? And so I sat back down in my chair and sat there for a while, and suddenly I felt like invisible hands had grabbed me around my neck and were strangling me to death. And I couldn't breathe, and I was struggling. And I thought I was going crazy because I couldn't see anything, and yet I knew what I was feeling. And many people wake up at night feeling like something is strangling them, and they feel like they're being paralyzed, but they can't see anything, and they don't know what it is, and it's so frightening.
I've experienced that.
A big hand
got on my leg, was holding me down, and a big hand, and you know, you can feel the shape of a hand,
got on
my shoulder and was pushing me down, and I squirmed out from underneath it, and there were people watching me. So I've had experience like that, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. And the problem is spirits can reach from the spirit realm into the physical realm, and they can affect the physical realm. And the problem is you can't see what's doing the doing. And that was my trouble. Well, Pearl woke up and she looked over at me, and I guess I was turning blue. And she said, Doc, you don't look so good. She said, these things have to be dealt with in the name and power of Jesus Christ. And she spoke then, and she commanded. She said, I command every demon attacking Dr. Brown to let go of her and to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. And immediately, the choking sensation on my throat stopped.
Mm, powerful, powerful.
And I looked over at Pearl and I said, what did you just say? And she said, Doc, you don't understand. I told you that nurse was sending demons in here. Now, they're spirits, and you can't see them. But that's what was attacking you and choking you. And she said, there's only one power that's greater than those demon spirits, and that is Jesus Christ. and you have to use the name of Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus said in the scripture, he said, these signs shall follow those who believe in me. In my name they shall cast out demons. And that's exactly what I experienced that night, and that was what opened the whole realm of spiritual warfare to me. I learned that night through Pearl and experienced the reality of the invisible, unseen spirit realm. And that's when I realized that what this nurse had told me was true, that Helen, the charge nurse, was indeed sending demon spirits to attack and kill patients. And that's the reason why I could never find a physical cause for their death, because it was not physical. It was spiritual. It was from the demon spirits.
Mm-mm-mm.
That was the beginning. And so shortly after that, then I would be summoned when I was on call at night to the intensive care unit because a patient had what we called crashed, and their blood pressure had dropped very, very low, or their heart was beating abnormally or something like that. And I would go and stand by the bedside and do everything medically that was possible to do with physical medications. And Helen would be standing, the nurse would be standing on the other side of the bed, and I knew that she was silently calling on her demons to kill the patients. And so I would very, very quietly, so I could not be heard under my breath, be rebuking the demons in the name of Jesus and commanding them to get off the patients and to stop attacking them. And do you know the death rate in the intensive care unit over the next several weeks dropped by 50%.
Oh, my.
When I was on call, the death rate stopped in the intensive care unit because I was using the power and authority in the name of Jesus to stop the demons from killing the patients. Now, I know that that sounds far out, but so help me, that is exactly what was going on. And it didn't take long, and I was being called back into the director's office, the head man of the internal medicine program, and he told me to stop making trouble with the nurses in the intensive care unit and that I would be kicked out of the program if I didn't stop doing that. Well, I had never said a word. I had never said one word to Helen personally. I had never said one word to anyone else. I hadn't made any complaints. Nobody knew what I was doing from me, but clearly Helen knew because the demons weren't getting through, and she knew what I was doing, and she was the one that had complained to the director, and that was the beginning of the battle. Shortly after that, God led me every night before I left the hospital to walk the corridors of the hospital and to go through every ward of the hospital and pray and command every demon spirit to be bound in the name of Jesus and ask God to bind up the demons and to stop the witches and the Satanists in the hospital from being able to attack the patients, to place angels all around all the patients and to protect them. I'm telling you, the death rate in that hospital, it did drop. It was incredible. But that's what got me in trouble, and that's when Elaine in the upper levels of Satanism was then commanded by Satan himself, no less, to kill me. And that's when all of the Satanists and the witches began to send all their demons onto me to attack me to try and kill me. And that's why I became so ill physically and ended up in the hospital dying. And it was at that point then that the pastor of my church came to visit me. And he said, Rebecca, you're probably going to think I'm crazy. Now, mind you, I had not said one word to my pastor about what was going on or what I was involved in. But he came to me and said, Rebecca, you're probably going to think that I'm crazy, but I believe that the Lord has told me that you are under terrible attack from witchcraft and that that is why you're ill and dying. Is this a possibility? Have you been involved in anything like this? And all of a sudden, the light came on, and I realized that I was literally being killed by the demon spirits from somebody, I didn't know who, just the same as Helen was bringing about the deaths of so many people in the intensive care unit and in other places in the hospital. And it was then that the pastor and I prayed, and the elders of the church came and anointed me, and we prayed and came against the witchcraft curses and the demons, and the Lord raised me up and healed me. And then I went back to the hospital. And that's what got Elaine in all the trouble, because she had not been successful and killing me, and she ended up coming to Jesus Christ.
She was a nurse, wasn't she?
Yes, but she was not working at that hospital. She was working at a nursing home.
Okay. And as bizarre as that sounds, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of what you experienced. It's only the beginning. And what a beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've made a discovery. You were, I guess, called a fundamental Christian, a good, clean, living Christian person.
Yes.
And here you were being afflicted and right in the middle of this battle of spirits. Can you tell us what happened next?
Elaine then became my patient, and I won't go through all about how that happened. It was just miracle after miracle. She became my patient. I couldn't stand her. She was nasty. And I didn't want her as a patient, and every time I tried to give her to another doctor, she ended up bouncing back to become my personal patient. You see, when you're in training, you see patients that are patients of other doctors, but you have your own patients as well, your own personal patients.
Okay.
And she became one of my personal patients. Well, then Elaine's illness went on, and I never could come to any resolution or really figure out what was going on with her. But I knew she was really sick, and I ended up discharging her from the hospital. And, of course, she nearly died and came back in, and she was admitted, I think, three times before finally I confronted her and asked her if she had been involved in witchcraft or Satanism prior to accepting Christ. And she finally admitted to me that she had. And I said, are you being attacked by demon spirits? And she said, well, yes, Man-Chan is trying to kill me. Well, she explained to me then that was the name of her central spirit guide and the demon that gave her the most power. And
Man-Chan.
That was the name that she called him. Understand, mm-hmm. Demons can take 1,000 different names, so their names really aren't important. But
okay. Witches
know the names of the demons that they work with personally. And so Elaine knew the names of her demons, the most of them. And so that's when I really got into it. And I immediately then, this demon, Man-Chan, took over Elaine's physical body, because she was used to allowing the demon spirits to control her physical body and to use it however they wanted to. And see, this is what spiritualist mediums do. This is what people do in all religions other than Christianity around the world. They go into various states of meditation in the Asian religions, particularly when they blank their minds of all thoughts. This gives the demon spirits the ability to control their minds and to control their physical bodies. And many other ways, some religions take drugs that allow the demons to do that. So Elaine was used to allowing the demon spirits to take over, and when they did, normally, she would have no memory of what they did through her physical body. She blanked out, the demons took over, and they would control her body. So suddenly, there I was, face to face with Elaine in the physical body, but it wasn't Elaine. It was this demon spirit, very powerful demon, in control of Elaine's body, and her whole face changed to take on a different expression. Her voice changed to become very masculine, and the demon took control over her, and in Christian terminology, we call this manifesting. The demon manifested through Elaine and took control over her physical body and began to cuss me out and tell me that he was going to kill me and so forth. And then I began to command him to come out, and I spoke to him, and I said, no, I command you to come out of Elaine right now in the name of Jesus. And his answer was, no, I won't. And I said, yes, you will. And we went round and round and round and had a big fight. And so for about an hour, over and over again, I told him that he had to come out and leave her in the name of Jesus. And eventually, he disappeared. I felt he had come out of her. Of course, now I realized he really hadn't. He just simply backed down and didn't control her physical body anymore, but I thought he had left. And then Elaine came back to consciousness again, and I told her what had happened. And she finally then confessed to me that she had been in Satan's kingdom and had literally become a bride of Satan, and that she had been his servant for more than 17 years. And she's the one that explained to me that she invited many very powerful demons into her life in order to give her powers of witchcraft.
And I'm telling you, listeners, as bizarre and unusual as this seems to be, this is still just the beginning of Dr. Rebecca Brown's life and experience in helping people get free from the oppression of Satan and get out of his kingdom. It's just the beginning. Her life has amazed me. I've read four of her books, and I've read them over and over and over again.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Dr. Rebecca Brown.
If you are interested in purchasing books, Dr. Rebecca Brown, HarvestWarriors.com. Once again, that's www.HarvestWarriors.com. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. You've been trying hard to make it all alone, trying hard to make it on your own, and the strength you once were feeling isn't there no more. And you think the wrong you've done is just too much to be forgiven, but you know that
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.